Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. In case you haven't guessed, I am Michael Bruce, and I am very, very excited and pleased and thrilled to be here at St. James as your new rector. Guys, I haven't even done anything yet. But thank you very much. I do want to say a couple words of thank you to the search committee and to all the volunteers who worked so hard to get little 501 Askins ready for Heather and I to move into. It's a beautiful home. We've settled in over the last 2 weeks or so and have been exploring exploring London with all of your wonderful suggestions. So far, we've explored the Westminster Ponds. I would give it 4 out of 5 stars, but would recommend bringing bug spray. With that, I also want to squash a rumor that Tim is starting. I've been telling people that if you're wearing your name tags, which is extremely helpful for me at the beginning, I will be giving you communion by name. And that's a practice I intend to continue as time goes on. But if you're not wearing your name tag, I'll give you just a generic, the body of Christ, and that will be fine, even if I know your name. So name tag, you get communion by name. Unlike what Tim is saying, where if you're not wearing your name tag, you don't get communion. So that is not the case. I'm here to set the unwritten rule straight and go from there. So once again, thank you so much for the warm welcome, for all the work that this congregation has done to prepare for myself and for my wife's arrival. And with that, I'd like to announce the wardens up for any more announcements.
Good morning, all, and welcome. It's a pleasure to see such a big crowd. Our announcements are brief. And we've already given a round of applause to Father Michael, but it's as wardens, we would like to say a big hearty welcome and also a thank you to the search committee, to which we were a part of. But my goodness, I said to Father Michael on the way in, it seems like a long time ago that we started our search, but yet you might think in the career of rector's assignment, it might be very brief that we've been without. We've been covered ably and we've expressed our appreciation for that. Upcoming induction ceremony or service is forthcoming. We'll wait to hear on a date, and when we hear, we will communicate that to you. But one more time, a round of applause for Father Michael, and then we'll leave you alone.
Well, without any further ado, let's begin the church service that we're all here to have. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent into our hearts the Spirit of your Son. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Oh, that runs down the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So as I've been saying, I have received an incredible welcome from the people of St. James. Everything has been hospitable. Meeting Rebecca in the office has been fantastic. If there was one small thing that I could change, though, one small thing, it would be the readings we had this morning. It would have been very nice to start off a sermon with something like, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That would have been a great sermon to launch into. Or maybe, "Be renewed by the transforming of your minds." Another great one that I could have done a lot of good work with. But this one, this is a tough gospel. This is a hard, hard thing from Scripture that we have to wrestle with today. Because in it, we see a Jesus that we don't really recognize, do we? He seems harsh, critical, angry. In fact, this very passage was the first theological fight I got into in my first month of seminary. It was interesting because that fight then proceeded throughout the whole 3 years, and the person I was fighting with and I eventually switched sides and then started fighting from the opposite side at the final year. Which side I started on, I can't remember, but I'll summarize them in a paraphrase. Either what's going on in this gospel text is that Jesus is testing this poor woman in such a way, because Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus is God, and he's testing her faith, which, if I'm to be perfectly honest, seems kind of cruel. Doesn't seem very nice at all. And Jesus calling someone a dog, I just don't know how to deal with that one. The other side of the argument might even be worse, because that would be that Jesus changed his mind. Jesus is a guy. People change their mind all the time, but we also know that Jesus is the incarnation of part of the Trinity, of the complete Godhead. So Jesus is fully God and fully human, and if God changes his mind, then, my brothers and sisters, we are all in a lot of trouble. We rely on God's promises to be sure and true and steadfast, the very foundation of our hope. And if we see in this gospel passage that God switched his mind and said, no, I'm changing things up. Wow. It's not just a little problem. In our first reading today, we hear Paul wrestle with exactly that. He's wrestling with why the Jewish people, the people that he belonged to, aren't flocking over to Jesus as the Messiah as quickly as he would expect. He asks, is the salvation being taken away? What's going on there? And you can see him wrestling earnestly, trying to figure out what God is doing, because God's promises, the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is true and stands fast forever. So Paul sort of comes together and says, well, maybe the disobedience is there to share in the disobedience of the Gentiles so that we can all be glorified by being restored together. A nice thought. I like it. I hope it's true. So those were the two sides of the argument. And if anyone comes up with a clever or witty response or something that I haven't outlined in those two positions, feel free to debate with me at Lemonade after the service. I'd be happy to hear what you have to say. But instead of focusing on those two positions, I think I want to take a step back and look at what one of our earliest Anglican forebears did with this verse of Scripture. In the Roman Catholic Church, at the beginning of communion, there is a part of the service that quotes Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And it says, Lord, I am not worthy that you enter my house, but say the words only, and my soul shall be healed. Thomas Cranmer, when he was working on writing the Book of Common Prayer that those from our 830 crowd would know pretty well, gets rid of that completely and instead quotes this unnamed woman and says, we do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. Well, instead of sitting and debating the finer theology points between the two positions I stated earlier, it might be worthwhile, it might be a good spiritual exercise to follow in the footsteps of this unnamed woman and to see if it resonates with our own spiritual life and experience and to see what wisdom we might glean from this. So here we have a woman who is in desperate need, reaching out and searching for her Savior, for God. And God responds in utter silence. Don't know about you, but that has been my experience in my life. Sometimes when we're diagnosed with an illness or the loss of a loved one, we look up to God and we say, God, why did you let this happen? How could this be? And we're left in silence. It's hard. The disciples, people who have been following Jesus, knowing Jesus, learning from Jesus, trying to emulate Jesus and grow more in holiness and righteousness, then turn and say, send her away. We don't want her here. Seems pretty harsh. And I'm sure some of us have heard stories about how the church has turned away people in need. How the church hasn't always been there. How conflicts and little disputes have been things that have caused people to lose faith or not be able to join a community. We see that. And yet this nameless woman persists. She persists and she kneels before Jesus, as many of us have knelt before Jesus, and says, "Lord, help me." I can resonate with that prayer. But then Jesus says something that I think, if I'm being honest with you, would break me. He says, "You're not worthy." If that's what I heard, I think I'd be done. I think many of us have reached a stage like that and found that little hope within us just quashed and quashed. And there's a reason that I'm not in the Bible and this unnamed woman is, and that's because she did not lose hope. In spite of everything that's going on in our lives between Sunday to Sunday, everything that happens that tests us and pulls us away and makes us wonder, how could God be moving in a world like this? She does not lose hope. And I bet after that beating that it just took, that hope is barely an ember. And that's when Jesus says, "Woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith." It's not the faith of the disciples who I'm hoping are going, "Well, it's probably inappropriate for a woman to be following around a group of men at this time, so it might be better if she just goes home with the best of intentions." It's not the young theologian who knows with such certainty whether God was testing this poor woman or God was changing his mind. It's the faith to have hope in the midst of everything that Jesus proclaims as great. And I think that's a lesson for us. That's what I'm taking away from this scripture, is that having hope is essential to never let it be crushed or squashed. That hope can ignite and do amazing things. So my brothers and sisters, in the midst of whatever you're going through, let us strive to be like this unnamed woman and never give up hope. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, "I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
In faith, let us pray to the God who is Lord of all the earth. Holy God, may the worship of your church throughout the world be attentive and expectant, ready to be set on fire again and again with the outrageous foolishness of loving without exceptions and without limits and without praise. Servant God, let us honor you with our lives. Holy God, may all that encourages people in goodness, honesty, and compassion be blessed and grow. May all that encourages self-seeking and cruelty, prejudice, and deceit wither and be exposed as the unsatisfying rubbish it is. May we learn from one another's cultures and respect one another's differences. Servant God, let us honor you with our lives. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of human love and for all those among whom we live and work. We pray particularly for those among us dealing with health issues, and think especially of Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Christine Scott, and Tom Burrell. We pray for those among our friends and families who do not know you or whose faith has been shaken. Servant God, let's honor you with our lives. Holy God, we pray for all whose backgrounds make belief in a loving God laughable or terrifying. We pray for all who suffer mental or emotional anguish and those who despair. We pray for those facing another day of pain, another day of hunger, another day of fear. Servant God, let us honor you with our lives. Holy God, gather into your eternal kingdom all who have come to the end of this earthly life and rejoice to see you as you really are. We remember all whom we love and can no longer see, and thank you for your overarching love and undergirding faithfulness to us. In particular, we think of Debbie Greenshield's father and pray for comfort for those who were close to him. Servant God, let us honor you with our lives. Let us remember this week as we go about our daily tasks those who have been displaced or who have suffered losses in the wildfires that are devastating not just our land, but throughout this wonderful earth. Holy God, we remember with gratitude all who gave so much to bring the good news to our country, and pray that with us it may continue to be spread until the whole earth knows of your truth and your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Peace of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God and Father, you have adopted us to be your heirs. Accept all that we offer you this day, and give us grace to live as faithful children. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death, and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we might praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Jesus Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Mercy and grace.
Let us pray. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do
anything more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to a close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.